This Thursday and Friday at the Tennessee Theater, the Knoxville Symphony Orchestra will perform works by Dvorak and Rachel Grimes. Also on the bill, guest violinist Tessa Lark will be performing Korngold's Violin Concerto. Tessa Lark, thanks for coming in.
It's great to be here.
So you hail from Richmond, Kentucky. I was really surprised to find out you have never been to Knoxville, Tennessee before.
I'm really embarrassed, but I'm happy to be here. It's a really cool place, so I'm super excited about it.
You're going to be playing Korngold's Violin Concerto. How did that become your choice? What kind of challenges does that piece offer, and what are the rewards?
Oh, there's so many rewards with that piece. It's really amazing, and it's having a new heyday these days. It wasn't performed for a little while after Heifetz, championed it, and very few others before the past 10 years or so. But it's super gorgeous music. People who haven't heard Korngold before, they'll hear it and they'll think, oh, that sounds so much like this movie, soundtrack that I've heard, or this or that. And he's really credited for that movie sound. John Williams, for instance, famous movie composer. His sound was very much inspired by Korngold. So you'll hear that. And Korngold actually pulls from movie scores that he wrote for and puts them in this concerto. So that's a lot of fun. The orchestra really gets to shine. And that's also one of the challenges of the piece, is that there's a lot of intricacies between the solo part and the orchestra. And so in that way, it feels very much like chamber music. So it's a rewarding challenge. And the way the piece came about is that Aram Demirjian, the conductor, and I are actually friends from school in Boston, New England Conservatory. So ironically, though I grew up so close to here, it was a connection in Boston that's finally brought me to Knoxville. But he was just asking me what, my desert island concertos are, and this is definitely one of them. So super glad that he was willing to program it.
I love it because it's kind of what you mentioned. He incorporates some of his own work from his soundtracks, and if you've seen like Robin Hood or Seawolf or some of these movies from the 30s and 40s, you'll feel like you're at the movies listening to it, yet it also goes into some more traditional romantic type music.
Yes, yeah. And romance is kind of the reason that I was drawn to the violin in the first place. There are few instruments that can make that romantic sound as well as the violin. And it harkens back so directly to that sort of era in the 20s and 30s. And it's a really beautiful sound, especially to behold in a live concert hall. It's a really fun piece to perform for audiences, too.
Speaking of the violin and the romance of it, you certainly don't have any shyness about taking it anywhere it will go. You play bluegrass extremely well. You play jazz extremely well. How do you pull that off? I mean, it's because, like Wynton Marsalis, is a great jazz musician, and he played classical, and he just said, look, I can't do them both well.
Oh, I would say that's a lie. He's a genius in
both
realms.
Maybe he's a modest, I don't know.
Yeah, that's quite humble of him. Well, if he said that, then I don't play music at all. It's just, I can't play anything. How do I do it? I mean, I would say, that I don't really. But I grew up with a lot of different music in the household. My dad plays bluegrass banjo, and he'll actually be coming here and playing with me on the Blue Plate special. So that's going to be a lot of fun. But so I grew up with bluegrass in the house, and I was inspired by a lot of musicians who played different styles. Mostly non-classical is where you see people exploring different genres, funnily enough. But these days, it's becoming much more common for classical players to play other styles of music and also improvise. So I just feel that all styles inform others, and genres are, as people are talking about these days, is more of a commercial word, and it's for marketing purposes to create genres, but really there's so many similarities between a lot of these different styles. So I just really enjoy finding those similarities.
All music is one.
Yes. Amen.
And do you ever take little bits and bobs of jazz and find something from that approach and include it into some of your other styles of playing?
Sometimes if I think it's appropriate and if it gives due respect to the music that I'm playing. Actually, with this Korngold, there are a lot of harmonies that are quite jazzy. And actually, the person who it was written for, or in mind that Korngold had in mind. Yasha Heifetz was also very much into jazz and an amazing pianist. And so I think that sensibility in harmonies and that time period, there is some bleeding of styles in that way. And so I suppose some jazz influence of mine maybe sneaks into the performance of the Korngold, but yes.
Well, you know, you talked about the Korngold writing that for a specific person. That must make them feel really incredible. And I can't imagine what it would be like to have someone like Michael Torkey write something for you. Has that ever happened to you?
Man, that was, yeah, that's a dream come true. Actually, just before him, my boyfriend, Michael Thurber, who's a great composer, wrote me a violin concerto, and that was just an incredible gift. I told him he's exempt from Valentine's Day gifts for the rest of his life. Really amazing. Michael Torkey, I asked him to write me a sonata through Carnegie Hall's commissioning program. I had a recital there, and so Michael Torkey was willing to write me a sonata. And through that collaboration, he got this idea to write a bluegrass-inspired violin concerto. And so he actually asked me if I would do such a project, and I said, you know, duh. I would love to do that. And so this beautiful, beautiful, amazing, unique piece came to be. And the world premiere just happened a couple of weeks ago with the Albany Symphony on, I think that was January 4th and 5th. And a recording of that will come out later this year. But it was just incredible to be collaborating so closely with a composer that I adore and admire so much, and a lot of fun to see him inspired by music of my upbringing, bluegrass and Appalachian music. And these were sounds that he wasn't really familiar with until we started collaborating. So that's also a huge honor that he was inspired, you know, by my heritage.
Tessa Lark, I look forward to seeing you at the Tennessee Theater, which seems like a perfect location for Korngold's sort of cinematic compositions. And then, and the music of Rachel Grimes, another Kentucky native, is being featured.
Yeah, there's a lot of amazing music that comes out of Kentucky, but I'm just, that always excites me so much. So I can't wait to meet her, and so glad that her music is programmed.
Is this part of some movement to take over the world by the musicians of Kentucky?
Well, we're taking over the world with our bourbon, I think. So, you know, that's a step in the right direction.
I've seen evidence of that in my travels.
Yeah.
Well, Tessa Lark, thanks so much for coming in. We really look forward to seeing you perform on Thursday and Friday at the Tennessee Theater. It's at 7:30. And then there's a Q&A with Rachel Grimes at 6:30 on both nights. And then the Knoxville Youth Orchestra is going to be there, getting in on the Dvorak. It's going to be a big night.
I can't wait. It's going to be so much fun.
All right. Take care.
You too. Thanks.